Erev Tov Rabotai, Shavua Tov. Okay, so as a follow-up to what we started last time, we started speaking about the how low can you go on the Pe'at HaRosh, right? Pe'at HaZakan, Pe'at HaRosh. So I really wanted to, it's kind of backwards, I really wanted to start it from the Tur and Bet Yosef last time, but guess what? There was no Tur on the shelf, and of the multiple sets, both of the chalakim that I needed were gone. And I just found it now. So that is exactly why it's important when you're done learning with Svarim, you need to put them back. Because it can cause tremendous amounts of bitul Torah, and that's chaval. The Stipler actually writes in one of his letters in Kanyana di Garta that a person who takes out Svarim, like public Svarim to learn from, and does not put them back, he says he is considered a gazlan and achzari, a thief and cruel, and he does not get reward for the Torah learning that he did while using the Sfarim. So now we understand. It's funny because we're always on one end of it. At some point, we're all guilty of it, taking out Sfarim and not putting it back. But it only hits home when you're frustrated, when you actually need a sefer and you can't find it, and you're like, oh, that's why it's so important to put them back. Anyway, Bekitzur, so now that I found it, I want to work it backwards from the Tur and the Bet Yosef and actually point out an interesting chidush that the Bet Yosef says on the sugya. The Tur writes as follows, this is in Kufpe Aleph Said Gimal, V'chatav Rambam. Now, basic information, I know it was a little while ago. Does anybody remember where we went with the Peot last time? What did we say? Well, let's work it this way. What about Zakan? The Gemara was very clear. There are five Pe'ot that only Ta'ar was Machloket Tanaim, only Ta'ar was Asur, and the Gemara came out that Misparaim Ke'in Ta'ar, which is scissor action, even if it gets very close, on the Zakan, the Gemara said, is okay. What about on the Rosh? Huh? On the Rosh, there's two Pe'ot. The question is, what about... So Ta'ar on the Pe'ot obviously is Asur. Scissor action on the Pe'ot, meaning, let's put it, scissor action that's close on the Pe'ot was subject to a machloket. We said it was Rambam and Rosh. We'll see that it's actually more than that, but if you look at the Shulchan Aruch, it doesn't necessarily reflect the gravity, the extremeness of the machloket between the Rambam and the Rosh on this thing. So I want to read it from the Tur. Listen to the words because it's going to make all the difference. The Tur says, "V'chatav Rambam, she'eno chayav ela b'ta'ar." Aval b'misparayim ki'ain ta'ar mutar. Which means, the Rambam says miforash, this is in Perek Yud Bet, halakha vav of the Rambam, where he says that, now, let's backtrack for a second. Remember the pasuk in the Torah that discusses the shaving of the head and beard? Yeah, in Parashat Kedushim. Now, there's a very important difference. Yes, yes, that's my man. Brazil is on the money. Now, he says, you call him? Ronaldo. Anyway, okay.
Ronaldo's Portuguese.
Oh, really?
Neymar.
You know, I have a lot of South American friends because in Colo, most of my friends were Argentinian. It's weird, like beyond weird, but in South America, do you know that they make Avodah Zara out of soccer players? No, like idols. You know what I'm talking about? Anyway, you see,
mural statues,
it's the weirdest thing like ever. They like worship soccer players. I don't get it. Anyway, but whatever. Yeah, there's Gimel Avrot Chamorot at these games. You ever, you know, everybody knows when there's a South American soccer game, you stay home. You don't get close because it gets dangerous. There's like looting. People get trampled, killed. Avodah Zarah. Shfichut damim, gilu arayot is probably all over the place. All in soccer. What? Yeah. Yeah.
They looted and broke windows, smashed.
I'm sure, yeah, that's what it is. It's interesting. I'm going off tangent for a second. Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, Alav Shalom, used to say, Am Yisrael has to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for sports. Because were it not for sports, Goyim would be busy murdering Jews all day long. Thank God for sports. That's why we're still alive. It's not a Jewish thing. It's to occupy the goyim so that they kind of forget about us for a little while so that they don't kill us. Yeah. Now, says the Rambam, good. Which means don't round off the corners of the head and don't destroy the corners of the beard. Now, the Gemara already said, anytime in this regard, when the Torah speaks about destruction, destruction is what? Razor, yes? So it's clear, that's where the Gemara learned out, that a razor on the beard is asur, but misparaim ki'entar, which is scissor action that gets pretty close, like a razor, would be mutar. The question is, hey, wait a second. The Torah doesn't speak about destruction, hashchata, when it comes to pe'atarosh. It speaks about rounding. So what is this rounding that the Torah is speaking of? That's why the Rambam says, v'katav Rambam, she'enu chayav ela bita'ar, aval b'misparayim ki'ayin ta'ar, mutar. Which means that the Rambam says, whatever the Mishnah said was mutar by beard, is also mutar by head. Period. He says, just like the Mishnah said, hashchata is only mutar, and misparayim ki'ayin ta'ar is mutar bazakan, that goes back on the head as well. So according to the Rambam, it's not only not asur midoraita, it is completely muta. Yes? Which, yeah. That's because the mitzvah was to do so. That was a specific mitzvah. The Levim was only one time. When they started the Avodah, that happened once. And by the Nazir, when at the end of the Nazir's thing, when they shaved his head, that was davka, also by mitzvah.
Right.
Mitzvah, that was a special mitzvah to davka shave with a blade. But in general, you're neither a Levi at the beginning of your service, nor a mitzvah, nor a nazir, so you can't be shaving with a ta'ar. But according to the Rambam, if I wanted to take something that's scissor action, which is what, you know, what we call a zero. You know what a zero is, by the way? And that's just a trimmer. Now, you take a trimmer and you put a guard on, that's a number one. And then a number two. And what, depending on what guard you put on the trimmer, that's going to make it that. But a zero, according to the Rambam, you want to zero your entire head, including the pilot. According to the Rambam, ma'adin, mutar. Because a trimmer is only misparayim. However, listen, yeah, no, what's up? He says, according to the Rambam, the way to read the pasuk, rounding means also razor. No razor, no rounding. Two different words. Okay, fine, that's okay. The Torah used two different words to describe the two different isurim. Two on the Rosh, five on the Zakan. The Rosh, however, makes a distinction. Listen carefully. And listen to the language. V'adoni avi Rosh Zan, the Torah is quoting his father, he says, katav shegam b'misparay name hayav al pe'ot Rosh. He says, even with what the Gemara allowed us, misparayim ki'ayin ta'ar on the beard, he says to do the same thing. Misparayim ki'ayin ta'ar on pe'at ha'rosh, says the Rosh, is chayav. What's chayav? Chayav is chayav malkut, means isur de'oraita, which means you have a very, very extreme machloket. There's asur mideoraita, mutar mideoraita, but asur midrabanan, and completely mutar. What the Rambam says is completely mutar on the head, the Rosh takes the same thing, misparayim, ke'in tar on the head, and says that's an isur d'oraita. What's the svarata machloket? How did this machloket become so broad, so opposite end of the spectrum? How did that happen? Explains the Bet Yosef, listen carefully. Bekatav Rambam, b'sof ilchot avodah zara katav v'zeh l'shono, listen to the language of the Rambam, mutar lelaket ha'pe'a b'misparayim. Mutar. Rambam says it's mutar to do misparayim. Now, he didn't tell you which length b'misparayim. He told you, even if you get really close with the scissors, the Rambam says it's mutar. V'katav nimukei Yosef. Sheken katav arav Rabbeinu Yishaya. V'chen pasak samag. The Rambam is not alone. Nimukei Yosef, Rabbeinu Yishaya, Ditrani, and the samag. Along with the Rambam. Four poskim gdolim me'od. V'ta'amam. Where do they derive it from? Miditnan beperek batra de makot. Eno chayav ad sheyitlenu beta'ar. Umashmer ouzal. De ben ha'peat ha'zakan. Ben ha'peat ha'rosh ka'eh. He says, hey, when, don't forget, we read at the end of this Mishnah, we read that last Wednesday, the Mishnah said, ve'eno chayav ela beta'ar. What's that going back on? It's going back on everything the Mishnah spoke about, both beard and head. That's how the Rambam interprets that Mishnah. There seems to be a Tosefta that supports the Rambam. The Baraita says you're only chayav when you do it with a ta'ar. Now, hey, wait a second. The Rambam has a little problem. The Baraita says, "Eno chayav al arosh ela bita'ar." When it says "eno chayav," what does that sound like? Isur deoraita is only with a ta'ar. What about misparayim? Maybe isur de rabbanan? Says the Rambam, no. What the Baraita means is "eno chayav" means there is no tzad isur whatsoever when you use misparayim on the rosh. That's how the Rambam interprets that Baraita. That's one side. The opposite opinion, the Rosh, who goes from... Do you understand what, when I say that it's opposite ends of the spectrum, that it's extreme? You understand why I'm saying it's an extreme machloket? It's going from mutar lechatchila to asur midoraita, passing the isur drabbanan stage. Now, watch what he says. V'aduni avi arosan, the Bet Yosef continues. Yeah, you with me, people? Now, Tu Bishvat, rejuvenation. Dead trees come back to life. Sound familiar? Now, V'aduni avi arosan katav, shegam b'misparayim nam yechayav an pe'at arosh, klomar, no, Wednesday night, Thursday. It's always sweet when Tu Bishvat falls out on a Monday or Thursday. Now, anyway, Mekitzer, there's nothing more gratifying than a good, legitimate Yeshim. You know what I'm saying? That's in Nachat. Huh? Now, I'll tell you a story. I think it was the Rishiba's great-grandfather of Tzvi Pesach Frank with who this story happened. He was in, you know, old-timer Yerushalayim. He was there even before the modern state of Israel, and then when the state of Israel was established in 1948, and they had just started drafting young men for the army. Now, in those times, it was, you know, the Yeshuva Yashan, that it was called, the old... You know, old-timer Yerushalayim was very insular. You know, like the Yerushalmis with the very Meyasharim-y. That's how they were. And everyone was scared to death that their kids would be drafted into the army because, you know, people don't usually come out from there. So there was a kid, unfortunately, who got a draft notice from a Yerushalmi, very from family. And his family was nervous, and they came to the Artsvi, and they asked him, is there anything that you can tell him to help him, you know, be mitchazek while he's in the army? So the Artsvi said, make sure, he told him, he sat down with him, he saw that the kid actually also wanted to go to the army, whatever. So he sat down with him, he says, I have one thing to ask of you. When you're in the army, do whatever you want. What? The Rav Yerushalayim is telling him to... He's like, yeah, I just have one bakasha. He says, what? Don't say tachanun on Fridays. Don't say tachanun on Fridays? Okay, yeah. Okay, fine. He said, that's it? He says, that's all I'm asking of you. Okay. He went to the army, and very, very quickly, the kid went off, and he wasn't keeping anything, not kashir, velo shabbat, velo klum. And he stopped davening, stopped putting on tefillah. The kid, like, mamash, very quickly went off. And then a few weeks later, a few months later, whenever it was, the words of the Har Tzvi started ringing in his ears. The Har Tzvi told me I can do whatever I want. Besides for, he says, don't say Tachanun on Fridays. So he's thinking to himself, tossing and turning in bed, says, don't say Tachanun on Fridays. Well, what is not saying Tachanun worth anything? I'm not davening. So he says, you know something? Whatever. In order to keep what the Har Tzvi said, he says, you know what? I'm going to start davening on Fridays. He started davening Shacharit on Fridays, so he shouldn't say Tachanun, like the Har Tzvi told him. Okay, fine. few weeks go by, he's davening on Fridays and not saying tachanun. He's like, what's davening on Fridays? Like, okay, davening on Fridays is good, but like, what about the other days of the week? They're also something, you know what I'm saying? He's like, okay, fine, you know what? In order not to say tachanun on Friday, first of all, I have to daven on Friday, and second of all, I have to daven on the rest of the days of the week and say tachanun on the rest of the day. So he started davening a few other days a week and saying tachanun on those days. Slowly but surely, he started working himself back into, he started praying three times a day. And he's like, I'm already davening, might as well, I can't eat treif and daven from the same mouth. That doesn't work. So he started keeping kasher again. Slowly but surely he came back. After he was discharged from the army, I don't know if he was the firmest guy on the planet, but, you know, there was something there. There was, his neshama was still aflame. So he came back to the Har Tzvi and said, how did you know? He says, how did you know to tell me that? Don't say tachanun on Fridays. So he says, I knew if I told you anything else, it would be too heavy on you. So you have to find something to talk to your neshama to make it seem, sometimes you have to, sometimes you have to trick the Yetzer Hara into working for you. You know, usually the Yetzer Hara tricks us into working for him. Sometimes you have to beat him at his own game. Trick him and make him work for you. Don't say tachanun on Fridays. Yes! Yeah. And then eventually, before he knew it, he was back in the fold. It's a chokhmah. What I'm trying to say is not saying tachanun is not necessarily a big cause for celebration. I don't know why tachanun has such a bad reputation. You know what I'm saying? I don't. Okay, so what? It's such a beautiful tefillah. It's from Mechilat Avonot, Vezeh. And everybody hates on it. I don't know why. Anyway, bekitzer, but the Rosh says, like, tachanun is a beautiful tefillah. It's connecting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, being mitvadeh, asking for mechilah. It's a passionate request for HaKadosh Baruch Hu's forgiveness. V'adoni Avi HaRozal katav shegam b'misparayim na mechayav al pe'at HaRosh, klomar b'misparayim ke'en ta'al. When the Tur says that the Rosh holds that misparayim is asur barosh, it doesn't mean just cutting your hair with scissors. You're allowed to cut your hair with scissors, even your peot. We're talking about what misparayim ke'en ta'al, when you're cutting it, you're using scissors to cut very close, that's what he's talking about. V'ta'amo, what's the reason for the Rosh? On the opposite end, mevo'ar bidvarav besof makot, shu mishum desavar, da'ad itnan eno chayav ad she'itelenu b'ta'ar, ha'peot zakan dav kakai. The way the Rosh understands the Mishnah is that when the Mishnah says that en ashchata ila bita'ar, but misparayim ke'en ta'ar is mutar, that's only going on the beard. But on the Rosh, don't forget, how does the Torah refer to Rosh? Lo takifu. Any rounding off, whether it's with a blade, whether it's misparayim ke'en ta'ar, that's also a form of rounding off, which would be included in the Isur Deoraita, according to the Rosh. La ba'inan ta'ar. V'chin mashma b'gmara, d'ka amar. He quotes the Gemara over here. The Gemara says, Makot of Kaf Amud Bet. Listen to this. Tanu Rabbanan. Pe'at Rosho, Sof Rosho. That's the edges of the head. V'ezu Sof Rosho. What's the Isur of Sof Rosh? What's the Isur of rounding off the things? Zeh mashve tzeda'av la'achore ozno ulfaddachto. Watch. Where are the pe'ot? The pe'ot are attached to the temples, correct? They start at the temples. The temple is attached to your forehead. What's the common denominator between your forehead and the back of your ears? Hairless. The Gemara says, you know what it means to be the isur of makif pe'at arosh? Is when you make the corners of your hair as hairless-like, your forehead and the back of your ears, that is the Isur. Doesn't necessarily, the Gemara doesn't say anything about Ta'ar. It just says what? Mashveh. You make it hairless. What do I care? Doesn't say if you made it hairless with a Ta'ar. Doesn't say if you made it hairless with scissor action that's close like a Ta'ar. Just says making it hairless. So now, by the way, the Rambam says that that's the way Goyim, you know, monks, that's how they used to take their haircuts. They used to shave off this whole area over here until the back of their head. Look like mamish, like a mushroom. That's, you know, like a... Blurit. Huh? Blurit. No, blurit was something else. Machloket Rashi and Rambam, if blurit was in the front or in the back, that's something else. That's regular going to have that haircut. The Kohane Avodah Zarah, they used to have this haircut where they mamish, like a skin fade, Huh? Right. But they had like a side skin fade over here. That was your identifying mark that you were a priest for Avodah Zarah. A skin fade. Go figure. Anyway, because yeah, Mel, what's the matter? Oh, because the Rambam also says the shiur of Kedil Lachuf Roshan Le'ikaran. That's how much it has to be. But now, what about the Baraita? The Baraita who says, hey, Rosh. The Baraita says, Eno Chayav on Pe'ata Rosh until it, Achi Galchenu Betar. What are you going to do with Tar? Says the, here. V'chin Mucha Per Shlusha Minim, V'ad Etani Betosefta. The Baraita we brought down before, Gabe Pe'ata Rosh. Eno Chayav Achi Telenu Betar. That you're only Chayav when you shave it off with a blade. What's the Rosh going to say about that? He says, the Misparaim Ke'ein Ta'ar Kamar. The Rosh will understand, he'll interpret the Baraita. When the Baraita says Ta'ar, it meant Misparaim Ke'ein Ta'ar. It meant scissor action that gets as close as a blade. Yeah. According to whom? Rambam? No, that's afuch. The Rosh brings that Gemara to hairless. If you take off your peot, I don't care with what, even misparan ke'ayin tar, and make it hairless, you'll be chayav for that. Because at the end of the day, you made it hairless, like your forehead and the back of your ears. And the Rosh is not alone. V'chen katvu ha-tosfot, b'resh masechet shivuot, v'katav rabbein Yerucham, shken nira ikar, v'chen pasak samak, v'chatu b'tumrat ha-deshen, b'shem gino, masechet shivuot, yesh nizarim. He brings down many poskim old like the Rosh. Now, it makes a lot more sense why in a machloket like this between the Rambam and the Rosh, even though it's kind of an equal machloket, there's several poskim on each side, how did Maran paskin Shulchan Aruch last time, you remember? Lachmi, like the Rosh. Why? Neged the Rambam, if it's two, usually, Maran writes in the Akdamav Bet Yosef, he will look for two out of the three Amudei Hora'ah to paskin like. Okay, who are the three Amudei Hora'ah? Rif, Rambam, Rosh. Now, the Rif doesn't weigh in over here. The Rif doesn't say. So you have the Rosh versus the Rambam. In general, when it's a Rambam versus a Rosh, who's Maran opting for? The Rambam, in general. So why over here does he opt for the Rosh? Now it makes sense. No? Huh? Why is he being Machmir? Why? Because according, the Rambam says it's Mutal Chatchila. The Rosh attributes an Isur Deoraita to it. So because of Safik Deoraita, Maran says we got to be Machmir Kedat Rosh. Where else is an example of that? By Isurim. Maran Shulchan Aruch in Orach Chaim Siman Shin Yud Chet holds, what's the halacha about reheating a fully cooked liquid food on Shabbat? On a plata. The Rambam and the Rashba and the Ritba and the Ran, they all hold that in Bishul, Achar Bishul extends to liquids as well. And therefore, according to the Rambam, it's Mutar. However, Rashi, Rosh, Rabbeinu Yonah, the Tur, others, they say, no, in Bishul, Achar Bishul only applies to Davar Yavesh, only to something solid, but to liquid, it's Asur, and it's Asur Afilu Isur Deoraita. Had a Maran Paskin, against the Rambam on this one, that you're not allowed to reheat a liquid food, a fully cooked liquid food on Shabbat. Why? Because there's a Safik, Isur Torah over here, Maran says. You got to stay away. Even though it's Rambam versus Rosh, and the Rif doesn't weigh in over here, nevertheless, because of the concern for Nisur Torah, Maran says you got to stay away. Yeah. Because when Maran says that when it's a majority solid and a minority liquid, that's considered a solid food. The liquid is considered, when it's a minority liquid, it's considered mitztamek v'ra'alo, you don't care about it. When it's mitztamek v'ra'alo, even the other poskim would hold that it's mutar to reheat a mitztamek v'ra'alo, means a liquid that the more you cook it, the more you heat it, the worse it gets. Well, it depends exactly what a mi'ut is, but yes, that's true. What's an example of a liquid that the more you cook it, the worse it gets? No, well, I mean, not necessarily. A coffee. Let's say you have a pot of coffee. Once it hits boiling point, the more you cook it, what happens? It's going to start burning and evaporating. That's called mitztamek v'ra'alo. And therefore the halacha is, if you cooked coffee before Shabbat, and you have it, let's say, in a kettle, let's say Turkish coffee or whatever it is, that's how they used to do it. The halacha is, even if it's cold right now, la'alacha ul-ma'aseh, it is permissible to take that pot or kettle of coffee and put it directly onto the plata to reboil on Shabbat, because over there, even though it's a liquid and it's a soon in general, that's only by a soup or a chal, it's something that's very liquidy and it gets better when it cooks. But something that gets bad when it cooks, mitztamek v'ra'alo, says Maran, even the poskim ha'osrim would be matir over here, they'd be modeh le'akel. See you tomorrow, Bezat Hashem. Laila tov.